What's up, guys? Welcome to Think Computer's Weekly Tech Podcast, episode 38. As always, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us keep on going, helps the podcast going, and all of that. With me this morning, as pretty much every morning, I have Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, guys?
You kind of sound like me for a second.
What do you mean?
What's up, guys?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You know, you hear it so many times, it just comes out of your mouth.
I know, right?
As ridiculous as it sounds.
It's not ridiculous. That's my tagline.
It's your catchphrase.
Yeah. So, we're recording this on my laptop, giving this laptop thing a try.
Because
we'll have to do this when we go to CES in January anyways.
That's true.
So
twice. Only the one Friday.
Actually. Yeah, one Friday. But it's good to see if this will actually work. So if there's any issues with sound or anything on this podcast, be sure to let us know, because this is the first time I'm actually trying to do it on the laptop. So
nice.
So, yeah.
Should
Anyways,
be fine.
Yeah, no, it should be good. It's all systems go so far. So we'll jump right into our reviews this week. And we took a look at three pretty cool products. We'll start with a more or less mobile product, which is actually a product I feel a lot of people should use, especially if you're an active person, if you're at the gym a lot. It is the Skosh SportClip Air Wireless Earbuds. And these are Bluetooth wireless earbuds that are just awesome. The big thing with if you're at the gym or you're playing sports with headphones or earphones or anything like that is if they stay in your ears.
Yeah.
And these are designed to do that. But even better is that they're wireless. So the only wire that you have is the wire that actually connects the two earbuds together, and that's it.
Yeah.
So you don't have a wire that goes down to your mobile device. So that kind of gets it out of the way. Which is really nice. So even if you're, say, you're even playing a game like basketball or something, you could have your devices playing your music on the side of the court, and you don't even have to worry about it being on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. What's the range on it? Is the standard like Bluetooth 50 feet or something?
Yeah, it's the standard Bluetooth. It's like 30 to 40 feet, depending on where you're at, and everything like that. But it just makes it so much easier. And another thing about these headphones, they do sound really good too. So they're definitely going to sound better than, say, the headphones that come with your mobile device or anything like that.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, they sound really good. They're very comfortable. I took them to the gym. I just used them just as normal headphones for an entire day. Like, I had them on all day.
Nice.
You know, it just makes it easier, so you don't have to have that mobile device on you. And they sound good.
Good range.
Yeah, good range. They are comfortable. And they're IPX4 certified, which means you can basically take a wet washcloth and sort of wipe them off. So if you are doing like an intense workout or running or something like that, or say like you're even one of those people that is like serious about running and you're like, you know, you're running in the rain or something like that, you don't have to worry about them getting damaged because they won't.
Yeah, it's pretty important.
So that's another big thing about these.
Swimming in them, though?
I wouldn't suggest swimming in them. You know, but everything else as far as sports goes, I mean, these are pretty much a go-to. They have inline controls as well, so you can easily play pause. You can put the volume up, volume down. You can take calls. There is a microphone, but because of where it's located, it's not really the best microphone. I mean, most of these microphones that are on headsets anyways aren't the best. That's definitely not the selling point of these. The big selling point, obviously, is them being wireless, them being like kind of sports ready, so they're not going to fall out of your ears or anything like that.
They're much smaller than the other ones I've seen.
Yeah, they're small. They're, you know, it's just like I said, for a lot of my friends who are really into the gym, I would totally suggest these because they're so easy to pair. I mean, Bluetooth is so easy to pair. You get 7 hours of playtime, so that's
surprising to me too.
Yeah,
that's long.
Yeah, that's definitely more than enough for a long workout, or even more than enough for that's all domestic flights on plane too, so you don't have to worry. You know, if you're doing something like that, they're easy to charge. Micro USB. I mean, Skosh did a really great job on these. I really can't say much bad about them. So
that's good.
So yeah. So we'll move on from that to more computer-related things. And a couple weeks ago, Zotac released their first ever SSD, solid-state drive. So they kind of entered the solid-state drive market. And that is with their premium edition solid-state drives. And I took a look at the 240 gig version. And this is just like most of the drive. A lot of the drives we took a look at this year, it is based on the Phison S10 controller, which I'm a big fan of.
Very good this year.
Yeah, there's like four or five drives we took a look at this year that are based on this exact same design. They use the Toshiba A19 NAND, which is very, very good as well. Just, you know, you can't really say much wrong about any of the SSDs that are based on the Phison S10. The only thing about this drive is there's absolutely no accessories. You don't get any adapters. You don't get any software. There's no SSD toolbox. No, these things can come in the future, obviously.
Yeah.
But I still think, you know, Zotac does have a very big fan base, especially with their graphics cards. And Zotac is known for quality. And this SSD is, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I didn't find anything really wrong with it. Performs just like any other Phison S10 drive. It's priced competitively. The 240 gig, I think, is $79.99.
Yeah, that's like what that. You got listed here. That's pretty cheap.
And what makes it great is for Zotac, you know, entering the SSD market is a really good thing because they have their whole ZBox line of mini PCs.
Yeah.
And this gives them the ability to outfit them with their own drives at a lower cost than going to a third party, which is
good, for sure.
You know, and just gives them the ability to, you know, have another revenue stream, which I think SSDs are pretty easy to get a good revenue stream going. I just hope that this would catch on, you know.
Yeah. I feel if nothing else, when you have lots of products and lots of different lines, it's advertising at least, you know. It at least shows that you're in every market. So
yeah, but it
makes, like, makes you a bigger player.
It makes more sense because they do have the ZBox line.
Yeah.
And a lot of the ZBox are sold as bare bones, so you need to buy the memory and you need to buy the storage.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
With this, they give they have the option to outfit it with their own storage, you know. And the ones that do come with everything, though, I would assume they would outfit them with their own SSD as well.
So. Yeah, save themselves a little money there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just a good overall SSD, definitely one that I would recommend. Any of the S10-based SSDs I would definitely recommend. So it does come with 3-year warranty as well. That's kind of standard for Phison S10 drives. So,
nice.
So yes.
Definitely a viable option.
Yes, and then finally, this week I took a look at the Patriot Viper 4 DDR4 3400 8GB dual channel memory kit. So this is dual channel DDR4 based for the Z170 chipset. This is some of the fastest DDR4 that we reviewed. 3400 megahertz is extremely fast for DDR.
Yeah.
DDR4 worked really well, no issues. I really like the quality of the heat spreader that's on this. It's very thick. You can actually take the top part off that's red, and you know, if you wanted to paint it or do whatever, you can kind of do that if you want. So any of the modders out there, you can easily do that. Just a good kit. You know, there's not a whole lot to say about DDR. DDR4, you know, it works.
It's fast.
This is XMP, you know, you have XMP profile on this, so you can easily, as soon as you install it, just enable the XMP profile, you're good to go. Some of the fastest memory that we've tested, you know, as, you know, Z170 chipset matures and everything like that, you're going to see higher and higher DDR4 modules, and this is one of the highest, you know, kits that we reviewed, so...
Yeah,
the Viper 4 or your Patriot's Viper series has been around for such a long time, and it's always been a good quality series, and this is no exception to that. So
nice,
it's another great job. So like three really great products this week. Yeah, you know, it's
nice.
Become the time of year where we're getting a lot of really good products in because it is holiday season, and this is where we see a lot of the premium products come out. And so, yeah, we have, you know, three great products this week. So definitely go ahead and check out all of those reviews. So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, which I love this build this week. So Case Mod Friday is a section of the site where we highlight or feature a case mod or build that's been completed in the community. We do it every Friday. You can submit your build if you want as well. And this week, we have a Fallout-themed build. Of course, Fallout came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured it was only right to feature a Fallout.
Absolutely.
Build. And this one is from the guys over at BS Mods, and I really like it. I think that they've taken the Fallout theme, and they've really incorporated it into pretty much everything within this system. And one thing that's really cool about this is that we don't see a whole lot is... They really didn't use much water cooling. They used an AIO for the CPU, and that's it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of different, but I think that it's still, there's, like, this is just so well done. The theme, you know, the Fallout theme is done really well.
It's kind of like one of the movie prop ones we see.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it's just a really great job. I would say go to the site and definitely check it out. This was featured, Intel featured this, did a video with them, and this was actually part of a contest for Corsair. It is inside of a Corsair case, and it was a contest for Corsair. I'm not sure if they won. I know the voting was over at the end of October for this.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just a great, you know, if you're a Fallout fan, this is definitely something you should check out.
Yeah, it's just really cool.
It's done really well, and it's something that, you know, just it's just cool to look at for sure.
It's interesting. It's almost like just a case mod. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like the rest, I mean, they did the rest of it as well, right? But they made it look old and rusted, but... like, it's really just, like, the case is just completely turned into the Fallout theme, like, old metal, rusted metal, you know, I don't know what else you'd describe it as. I guess if you didn't know Fallout, you'd have trouble following us right now, but I think that's the vault theme with the vault door on it. It swings open, it's just all beat up looking, and, yeah, basic Fallout theme.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really well done, and I love theme builds because it's just great to see them really transform.
Yeah,
you know, a PC build into something totally different. And again, as I said, this just follows that theme perfectly. And now that Fallout 4 is out, this mod has been getting a lot of exposure all over the place, which is great, I think.
You know? Yeah.
And I think it's a really great job. I think they've done a really, really good job on it. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely check that out. As I said, each week we feature a build. If you want your build featured, we have a Submit Your Case little button on the top of the site, so you can go ahead and submit your build if you want to.
Please do.
Yes, please do. So, we are moving on to news. Not a whole lot of news, but some funny stuff this week, I would say.
Yeah.
The first one is kind of funny. AMD is being taken to court over the core count on Bulldozer. So, a man out of California has accused AMD of falsely advertising its core count on its latest CPUs. So Bulldozer, AMD obviously states that it is an 8-core processor, but this man claims the way that it's designed, it is only actually has 4 cores.
It can only, he claims that it can only execute 4 instructions at a time.
Yes.
Which is the key, because otherwise I think AMD has a point that it can perform 8 instruction sets simultaneously, but he claims that it cannot. I think the funniest part about this is he's representing himself versus the mega corporation that is AMD.
Yeah, so at the end of this week, AMD did respond.
Yes.
And they said, in quotes, we believe our marketing is accurately reflects the capabilities of the Bulldozer architecture, which, when implemented in an 8-core AMD FX processor, is capable of running 8 instructions concurrently.
So I think that, I don't know if I think he might be right based on that quote. It's so like, no, we're right. There's no like proof in that quote. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So,
and I mean, they don't have to prove it outside of court, but this is a marketing issue for them.
Yeah.
Like you said, this is more, it's a spokesperson. It's not like, I mean, if they lose to this guy, I don't know what the most they could lose is. Probably not much, you know?
Yeah, it does have the possibility of going into class action, but I don't believe that it will.
Yeah. I just think that if you got to come out with a stronger statement than that. Otherwise, he might actually be right.
Yeah.
We believe they're not even saying factually, like stating clearly that it does. They just say, we believe our marketing is accurate. So
yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, I'm sure this is something that's going to, you know...
We'll find out later.
Yeah, we'll definitely find out.
It'll take a really long time, probably.
Yeah, it's not going to be something that's, you know...
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if AMD just drug this out so that he would possibly run out of funds to continue.
Yeah.
That's pretty typical of this sort of thing.
Especially since he's represented himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's a smart guy.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume he is to kind of point that out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is what's going on with AMD right now. So we'll move from that on to Intel, and we have some information on Broadwell E, which is the next-generation high-end desktop processor lineup coming from Intel. And it should be coming early in 2016. And I love the high-end desktop.
I think this is the most exciting thing in our news today.
You think?
I think so.
This is all rumor. It's just been speculated. But this is kind of what we have going on is, you know, typically when Intel releases their high-end desktop line, it's usually three processors. You have the X version, the Core i7X at the top, and then it goes down from there. This time, we'll have four processors, which is kind of interesting. Brattle-E will start with their flagship, which is the X-based processor, which is the Core i7-6950X. And it's going to, according to the reports, it's going to have 10 cores, 20 threads, 25 megabytes of L3 cache. That's awesome.
Pretty much the most epic chip they've released.
Consumer, yes.
Yeah, consumer chip, yeah. Yes. Xeon's got that. But.
Yeah. So that is pretty impressive for sure. You know, just the number crunching that something with 10 cores can do. It's going to run at 3 gigahertz, which is good, and then it should boost, but we don't know what the boost clock will be.
Yeah.
And then we'll move down the line. So down from there is the Core i7-6900K. That has 8 cores, 16 threads, 20 megs of L3 cache, and that will run at 3.3 gigahertz. Then after that is the i7-6850K, and that will have 6 cores, 12 threads, 15 megs of L3 cache, and run at 3.6 gigahertz. And then finally, the fourth processor is the i7-6800K, and that also will have 6 cores, 12 threads, 15 megs of L3 cache, and it'll run at 3.4 gigahertz.
You think it's just probably a lower bend? Just lower than the 6850.
Yeah.
Slightly lower clock. I think that those two are pretty exciting chips, to be honest, because they're still going to be really powerful, and they'll probably be priced pretty fairly.
Yeah, I mean, they should. What Intel typically does when they release a new line is it takes on the same price point as the previous line.
Right.
Which I feel the high end, the Core i7-6950X, will be $1,000, and I still think it's a great value for a 10-core, 20-thread processor.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a great value because you can use it on your current platform as well.
Yeah, so Broadwell-E is just a die shrink. It's not a new architecture, so we're moving from, down to 16, yeah, maybe, or 14. I forget. I can't think right now.
It's okay.
Yeah, I think we're moving from. Hold on, I could tell you in a second. But we're moving.
But anyways, it's the same. It's the same pinout, so it'll work right on your X99 platform, which I think is awesome that they do. It kind of gives a little more value to the, your higher power systems. You know, like as the consumer based systems. You know, like your X or Z 170 and, you know, all those different platforms. It's usually you get one chip series out of it, you know. Sometimes you can get a second, but in general, the more powerful systems from Intel, you get a couple generations of chips on.
Yeah, so usually...
And I think that's a really good value. I almost think that it might be cheaper to go that route.
Well, it all depends, really. I mean, I think that while you still will be able to use your current generation motherboard, when Broadwell E does come out, there will be new things, new technologies, faster M.2 slots, support for NVMe, you know, things like that that would be put on the new boards that do come out.
True.
But at the same time, it is nice to not have to upgrade your motherboard. Mm-hmm. You know, you already have that part of the thing.
Yeah, and you're already on DDR4.
But at the same time, you know, if I have the highest end X99 processor now, I don't think that I'm going to upgrade in a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing, too.
Because performance-wise, the difference. But you do go from an 8 to a 10 core.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, at that cost, too. I mean, I already paid $1,000 for my processor.
Yeah.
You know, am I going to buy another $1,000 processor within a year? I just don't think. You know what I mean? I just don't think that it's there. Now, if I'm just getting into the X99 platform, sure, you know. I'm definitely going to go ahead and go out and get that processor. But if I already have one, I just don't feel that, you know, I'm going
there's to... There's a lot of value in that for you.
For the upgrade, there's not a lot of value, I don't think. Just for the fact that, you know, these high-end desktop processors, they're going to last a very long time. You know...
I mean, you're still getting a lot of performance out of your previous processor.
Yeah, you're getting a hell of a lot of performance. So, but it's exciting to see Intel move up the core count, obviously, bringing a lot of value to the high-end desktop. You know, because they could easily keep it at 8-core, you know, and just, yeah, I mean, they don't really have to do much. They could just release, you know.
I think it's important that they actually are changing that up, though.
Yeah, so it's nice to see the core count go up. Definitely excited. Hopefully I will get one of these into review in January.
Yeah.
Be kind of fun.
So. And then you should sell it to me. No, I won't actually do it. But I've always wanted to be on this platform.
The platform is good. Sadly, I don't use it really because I just use it to test motherboards. You know, I do game on high end desktop. I forget what generation that other system is that I use the game on. It is a great platform. I mean, the amount of performance you get out, and you know, if you're doing encoding or anything like that, moving from say like a mainstream processor, like, you know, something on Z170, like a 6700K, and you go to the high-end desktop side, your encoding time gets cut in half. I mean, you know, so if you're somebody who's doing something like that, high-end desktop is definitely the way to go. And then if you're building an ultimate gaming rig, you know, you do get the 40 PCI Express lanes in the high-end desktop. So,
and whether people want to say it or not, it absolutely makes a difference.
Yeah.
With when you're going, as far as running like triple and quad SLI.
Yeah.
Which, that's what I've always wanted to do, is do one of those monster. Well, I mean, I've had quad SLI before, but I had it with a 3770K, so it was like.
Yeah.
I was limited. Even with a PLX chip, I mean, it's not the same as just having the lanes.
Yeah, and, you know, with VR becoming extremely popular and stuff like that, you know, it's just better to have more cores. It's better to have more efficient, efficient processor in terms of, you know, per core output and things like that.
And actual cores, not just
Actual cores, yeah. So, yeah, pretty excited for that. We will definitely keep you updated on Broadwell E as more information comes out. It's going to be a pretty exciting time at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So moving on from that to Microsoft, they did release their first major update to Windows 10. And this update adds a performance boost to the operating system. So they claim that this update will make Windows 10 30% quicker during startup than Windows 7. And that it will give higher performance in everyday tasks compared to Windows 7 as well. So that's kind of nice. It's kind of nice that they're focusing, you know, their updates on performance and on startup, because I think for a lot of people who really haven't upgraded to, say, like an SSD for some odd reason, I think startup is a big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think that I remember, you know, 2-3 minutes for startup sometimes.
Did it? Do you remember, like, turning your computer on and then going and doing something?
Yeah.
So and then coming back to it? Like, now that's just, like, a thing of the past. I think... I've been on solid state for so long, like, I don't even think of startup as being a problem anymore, but, like, I'll go to work, and I'll turn on my work computer, and I'm like, oh my gosh, come on, let's go.
Yeah, so I think that it's good that they're addressing that, and I think that it's good that they're actually, you know, that is one of the major things that I think people who haven't upgraded to SSDs, that's, like, one of the big things. It's, like, not that it slows down your computer, but it's, like, you know, people don't want to wait.
No. And I mean, dude, you get your solid state drive, right? And I mean, put Windows 10 on that. It's like seconds and you're into Windows.
Yeah,
like,
it's nice. It's you know. So, good to see them give a performance boost not only in startup, but it should be more efficient as far as other tasks go. And they updated Cortana so that it can take inputs from your pen on your device. So a lot of these new devices that have come out in the past few months have pens. That's kind of the new thing.
Which is so funny because Steve Jobs was like, no pens.
Yeah.
And now it's all about the pens.
So it can take input from your pen. So if you just write something, it can go into Cortana, and you can use the Cortana search function and all of that. So nice update from Microsoft on Windows 10. It should automatic. Mine automatically updated.
I was going to ask, did you have it? Can you notice a difference?
I didn't really necessarily notice a difference because my computer's always on.
Right.
You know, and I am running the high-end desktop, so everything runs fast all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like I notice any of that.
We're not the best judge of minor performance
increases.
And the
thing is, too, is like when I woke up, my computer was already restarted and like waiting to log in, you know.
Yeah.
I'm on the fast ring on Windows 10, so you may have to go in and update manually. I'm not sure, but mine auto does it. So,
yeah. Maybe I'll finally move one of my desktops to Windows 10.
I mean, I don't know why you don't. It's so nice.
Like, I don't trust the security issues.
Oh, I don't worry about those things. but yeah, it's you know, Windows 10 is a great platform. Finally, good to see Microsoft do a good thing with that, especially compared to Windows 8. You know,
I definitely need to get my Windows 8 machine upgraded.
Yes, just all you have to, it's like one click and you're good.
Yeah. Yes.
So we'll talk about some water cooling stuff, and I think this is very cool. I think this is very cool for people who aren't necessarily the best at water cooling, and I think this brings it kind of bridges the gap between AIOs and sort of do-it-yourself when it comes to water cooling, is that EK is releasing pre-filled GPU water blocks.
I was super skeptical about how well this would work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watched their little video.
Yeah.
And, oh, well, that just worked perfectly.
Yeah, so not that long ago, EK, or EK Water Blocks, or whatever you want to call them, or EKWB, however you want to call them, they released their Predator AIO, which was an AIO built from, of course, EK parts.
Right.
And it has a quick disk, or what would that call it, like an inline disconnect?
Yeah, it's QDC. Quick disconnect.
Yeah, so with that, you actually have the ability to add more parts to the loop. You know, you just that system comes with a CPU block and that's it. But with the quick disconnect, you can add more parts in. So maybe you get a GPU and you want to water cool it, but you know, you're not that versed in that. You know, you're not that
right.
You know, so what EK has done.
Yeah, in general, like filling, like going and doing anything on your own is like. That's the difficult part, you know, like having to put water into it on your own is like, that's where all the risk comes in. You know what I mean? Like refilling the whole system. And that's why AIOs are so popular, because there's you don't have to do anything with any of it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, with every other AIO on the market, you don't have any expandability for the most part. Yeah. I mean, there's a handful, but then you get back into that dealing with pouring water back into it and filling it yourself thing.
Yeah, so to kind of alleviate that problem and make it easier for the beginner, they're starting to sell pre-filled water blocks for GPUs. So now all you have to do really is install that water block on your GPU, which is more – I think that's easier for a lot of people because it's just like screws basically. You take off the cooling system on the card, you put the block on, you screw it on, and then you connect it to the Predator AIO and you're good to go. I mean
– yeah.
I think this is just another step in the right direction for sort of, like I said, it just bridges that gap between just a simple AIO and, you know...
Having a full system.
Yeah, sort of like the do-it-yourself. So it kind of brings people, say, like maybe, you know, their first system, you know, they're building their computer for the first time, and they kind of do this as a, you know, first-time thing, and then they kind of get used to it, and they like it, and then maybe the next time they'll build their full loop themselves or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would think that would be the natural progression.
Yeah, so it's cool. I like it. I like the way EK has done this, and obviously their products are of great quality, so I think this is something that, you know, something we might catch on to. We might see other companies kind of come up with this type of things, because I think that it's going to be really popular.
The only downside I see to this is your radiator is you're stuck at just a 360 radiator at most.
Yeah.
And I personally don't like the pump built into the radiator, but, you know, that's, I don't know, we'll just have to see the longevity testing on that, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's obviously something like, but all of these products, the Predator-based products from EK are brand new.
Yeah.
So we don't know that much about them other than initial testing.
Yep.
So we'll see. But I think it's a step in the right direction. It's good to see somebody do this. And the thing is, EK doesn't have to do this at all.
No.
You know, they're such a strong brand in the water cooling space that you really don't, they didn't need to do it, but it's just good because they're making it so it's easier for the normal person to get into water cooling, which I like.
Yeah. So I see. You can actually select any of their actual GPUs, and then they will fit it with the pre-filled and fill it with water. They will fit it with the tubing and the QDCs and fill it with water for you for €30, which is approximately $30.
Yeah, so I don't think it's bad at all.
No. So it's kind of cool, though, because you can choose any of their full-cover blocks from... I mean, that covers just about any GPU on the market.
Yeah.
So this isn't just like, oh, you can get it for the 980 and the 970, you know, like the newest current GPUs. You can do this with anything. That's really cool.
Yeah, so I like that.
Very little cost.
So, yeah, pretty good stuff from EK, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm sure we'll see a lot of that stuff in the future now that they've done it.
Now that they have that expandable system, they can go anywhere with that. I mean, they could do memory, they can go anywhere.
Yep. This is cool. Definitely good to see. So, move on from that to Asus and two awesome products that were announced this week. First, we have the Asus ROG Maximus 8 Extreme Assembly. And this is their flagship, highest-end Z170 gaming motherboard. Name something that's on this board. And what do you think of the new sort of metallic orange and black compared to the red?
I like it a lot better than the red.
Yeah.
Red's always, to me, been the most overplayed color in PC.
Yeah, they call it futuristic plasma copper.
that's over the top.
Yeah.
Futuristic plasma copper. It's orangish red. I think that pretty well describes it. It's a kind of a burnt orange.
Yeah, so this board literally has everything. It even has a 10 gig express card for the fastest onboard consumer Ethernet out there. you know, it's just they've done so much with this board. It comes with their... Supreme FX Hi-Fi front panel headphone amp, and that card. It has all of the features you would expect from an Asus board. All of the overclocking features. It has the dip switches for the PCI Express lanes. So if you're doing any overclocking on the PCI Express lanes, you don't have to actually take out the card. You can actually turn the lane off and then turn it back on. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool stuff. It has all the voltage checkpoints. It has everything that you would want. Basically, take everything that you'd want in a motherboard and slap it on this. It has everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know.
What size is the board? Is it EATX?
I would assume it looks like it.
Yeah, it looks massive.
Yeah, it's probably XLATX or EATX. Just a massive board there. Just has everything. You know. It's pretty cool to see a 10 gig express card for Ethernet, which is something you don't typically see.
No.
They run out of
space to build it in.
Yeah. You know.
just packing all the other features, there was just no room for it, probably.
Yeah.
So they included it
as an add-in. So it's basically 10 times faster than today's onboard consumer Ethernet, which is pretty crazy. you know, that will have a lot of features built into it as well.
And you know, it's the truth is that that's actually usable now.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you can easily get a connection for that.
The board also has NVMe Express U2 connector on the board. You usually have to buy that as an accessory. That's built into the board, which is nice. Obviously, mm-hmm. USB 3.1. I mean, like I said, name anything, it's on the board.
Yeah.
So, to kind of match that, or kind of be teamed with that, is a new GTX 980 Ti. It's the ROG GTX 980 Ti Matrix. And if you know anything about Asus, Matrix is typically their highest clocked GTX 980. You know, and this is the highest bin GPUs too, so it's like the top 15% of GPUs are selected for the Matrix cards.
And then they slap in a 14-phase power system.
Yeah, all that stuff. So all of the high-quality components and everything like that. Asus says that this card will deliver 18.7% faster performance than reference and 21.6% faster in The Witcher 3. So it's pretty impressive, you know.
Yeah.
It uses the DirectCU2 and the new wing blade fans that will deliver maximum airflow over the heatsink for 30% cooler and 3 times quieter, which obviously we know that from Asus. They do a great job on that.
Yeah.
Definitely. And this card also has that same, what did I say? They call it plasma chrome or something.
Like yeah.
And it has that same look as well, so you can match these two together and they're going to look great.
Definitely made for each other.
Yeah.
Oh, this was the one that has the LN2?
Yeah, it has
LN2. Switch that actually is, it's the one that has the frost melting system, right?
Yes.
Yeah. These are basically two of the most built up products you can buy, essentially.
Yeah.
Between the motherboard and this, there's absolutely nothing that's been left out of either of these as far as components. Performance features, components. Yeah,
and just the little things, just like you said, like that frost, the defroster, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's just cool that it's all on there. And like I said, if you want the best of the best, these are it.
Yeah.
In their respective lines, so.
So grab yourself a Maximus 8 Extreme and then 4 Matrix GTX 980 Ti's.
Yes.
And go smash some frame rates.
Yes, for sure. So I definitely would love to get my hands on either of those, for sure. But we are getting close to the end of news, and we always like to cover gaming stuff. It is definitely an exciting time for PC gaming. It is holiday season, so we have a lot of games coming out. What came out this week? Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah.
And Call of Duty. Call of Duty is mainly a console, but it did come out for PC as well. But
did it have issues?
Yes, it did.
That's what I thought.
Which we didn't necessarily cover. I didn't hear that much about it, but I know it did have issues.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere.
But we'll start with Steam. And what's it called? Was released this week officially, Steam OS.
Yes.
And that means all of the Steam hardware is available now. Steam OS machines or Steam machines that are,
built around that.
Built around Steam OS. So to celebrate that, Steam is having a sale on 45 games that are Steam OS compatible, which means they natively run on Steam OS. So I actually bought 3 or 4 games this week.
Yeah.
What did I buy?
Broforce.
I bought Broforce, which I've wanted to play for a while, and I sat down and I played it for 2.5 hours for the first time.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun. I bought this other game. It looked really cool. It's like an RTS. I'm trying to find it in this list. It's called Transistor. I bought that. And I bought Serious Sam 3 just because the Serious Sam games are a lot of fun. So I bought those 3 games. But if you do have a Steam machine or you happen to be running Steam OS, there are games that run natively. And a lot of these games are also games that obviously run on Windows. So if you're looking for one of these games, there's some cool stuff in there. Bioshock Infinite is on there. Borderlands 2 is $5. Broforce, you can play on Windows as well, and that's a lot of fun. I'm trying to think what else is in there. All the Valve titles, so Half-Life 2 and all that kind of stuff, if you don't have those yet, are in there.
Metro Redo.
Metro's in there.
Dirt Showdown. Alien Isolation. It's a good list. It's a solid list.
There's 45 titles. We link the page in our post, so definitely check it out. I'm not sure when the sale's over. I would assume it's just this week, so if you listen to this podcast, hurry up and jump over there and see if you can get one of these titles on sale. Again, so far, Broforce is awesome. I'm going to be playing Transistor probably today and tomorrow.
Nice.
To kind of see what that's about, because I'm trying to finish a review of the Alienware Steam Machine, which we'll talk about in just a second. 45 games, definitely check it out for sure.
Can always count on Steam to hook you up with cheap games.
Yes. And talking about Fallout 4, which was released this week, it has already broke a Steam record. So there were quite a hell of a lot of people playing this week. So if you can, go on to Steam and you can see the top games by player count at the current time. And when I actually wrote the article on this, there were 444,469 people currently playing Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Which I think is crazy.
Yeah.
This was a Tuesday in the afternoon, which made me think, why is nobody at work right now? And the reason it beat the record, obviously there were games with more players. Counter-Strike Go and Dota 2 usually have the highest player count on Steam, but this is for a non-Valve
title.
Developed title. It was the highest. The second highest in history before that was Grand Theft Auto 5, that had around 360,000 people. I don't know. I haven't even checked if Fallout even got higher or even beat one of these titles. It wouldn't surprise me if it did. It was getting close. When I originally saw the story, it was they were only at like 400,000, and then it jumped up to almost close to 450,000 people, which is crazy. I just think that's so much, so many people playing a game at once. Like, that's just out of control.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy, you know.
And that's just through Steam.
That's just through Steam. Yeah, that's just people who are playing on Steam, which is, I feel, a lot of people. I think this is more or less a PC release. I think it is pretty big in, you know, in PS4 and Xbox One, but I think this is the big PC release of, you know, of
right now. Oh, yeah. This is one of the, like, the original PC titles, you know?
Yeah, so are you going to get it or no?
Yeah, I really think I might get it.
I think because it is a good single-player game. There's not many of those come out. Like, the one, like, good single-player games I can think of for PC...
I can't.
Assassin's Creed series.
Oh, yeah, there you go, but...
You know.
I actually think of Assassin's Creed as less of a PC game, honestly. It's,
yeah, that's true.
I think they play better on a console.
Yeah, I originally played that on a console. But, but yeah, I mean, so I think that a lot of people like the single-player aspect of this.
I've been missing a good single-player game lately.
And it's good
I haven't been trying that hard, honestly, to find one, but, like,
It's good to get into a single player, like, game.
It's just a good story to follow.
Yeah, through. Like, the Half-Life series was so good. Playing that, you kind of like felt like you were into, you know, that world, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is kind of like the same thing, and I think that's why it has such a big following. I mean, I didn't realize the following for this game was so big, but it really is.
They're not like, I don't feel like they're as like vocal and out there as other game groups, but they're like hardcore. Like,
oh yeah.
When there's a new game, the Fallout fans, that's what they're doing.
For sure.
I have a friend who's probably had the whole week off just to play this game.
Yeah, for sure. So, that is definitely exciting for Bethesda and Fallout 4. I might get it. Who knows? I don't have a whole lot of time to play games, but...
Yeah, it's definitely one that requires a lot of your time.
Yes. And then we talked about Call of Duty. Call of Duty 3 Black Ops, of course, was released on last Friday, I think, and in 72 hours it earned $550 million, which is crazy, which makes sense. This is a huge console title. I think that this really is the multiplayer console title besides Halo that, or beside like Halo, Destiny, you know. That I think a lot in Madden, I would say, is the other big console title. I think this is huge.
This is definitely the shooter, I think.
Yeah, it is the shooter, especially for the PS4, and obviously Xbox One as well.
It's probably the biggest multi-platform, for sure. Because like Halo and the other big franchises, a lot of those are single or like dedicated to like Xbox One, etc.
Yes, and the Activision, the creator of the game, said that gamers racked up over 75. I can't even talk right now. They racked up 75 million hours combined from last Friday to Sunday, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And they said that engagement per player, which is a number that refers to the amount of time spent in the game per player, is the highest in history of the Call of Duty franchise, which means people are playing the game for longer, which is good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I never really got into the game. I played maybe the first or second one, and it's a good game. They're not bad games, I feel, but I just think they're more console type game.
I've played like almost all of them except for the last two, I believe. I put them single player all the way through and a lot of multiplayer. To me, they're just compared to some of our shooters on PC. And those are, they play on console as well, but I think for the most part, they play better on PC. But regardless of that, I think that they're just more user friendly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're easier to be good at, and they're a lot like twitchier. So it's easy to just get into a Call of Duty game, play for a little bit, and then get off, you know, get on when you have time. Because there's very little, like, into each match.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. It's sort of like the third type of glitch shooter game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the big one for us will be Star Wars next week.
Yeah, Nick, that'll be...
Yeah, which comes out next week. You know, and obviously we had Battlefield 4 as well.
See, because you always see the comparison between the two, and Call of Duty always sells more. I think it's the bigger franchise between the two.
Yes.
But I think that the Battlefield games offer you a more in-depth experience.
And I think they're originally developed for PC. That's the
difference. Yeah. They look way better as well. It's graphically.
Yeah. So, gameplay aside. I think it's still good. I think that the gaming, you know, market in a whole is getting so much bigger. I think that even, you know, especially the PC market too, because PC kind of went, you know, for a little while, and I think it's coming back with these great titles like Fallout 4, obviously like Star Wars, and I think that if anything, people are learning from mistakes like Batman.
Hopefully.
You know, to really take time on the PC versions of the games.
Yeah.
So,
you know, hearing that Call of Duty had issues, that doesn't surprise me much because they've had issues in the past too. But
yeah, I think that, you know, they're just learning from a lot of mistakes, I think, in the past. And I think a lot of these games, you know, just like with Star Wars, was like they found the issues, they fixed them immediately. You know, because they know that there's a community there, and they know that the community is going to speak out if there are issues, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a big key to it, is that, you know, if you're going to launch with errors and stuff, okay, we get it. You have to launch it. You have a publisher, etc. Make sure you fix it, though.
Yeah, and I think that this will... the issues that have the PC version of Call of Duty 3, the issues that are there will be fixed.
Yeah.
I think it's a big enough franchise, and they didn't, that we know of, farm the PC development out to somebody else, what happened with Batman. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the biggest error on their part.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just great to see gaming just keep on getting bigger and bigger. And obviously holiday season is when we see releases of great titles, so
mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And when we have time to sit at home in the cold weather and game
for
on.
Us on the East Coast here, you know, it gets cold.
Eastridge Coast.
Yeah, it gets cold, and you know, winter usually means hanging out inside a lot, so we get to get a lot of gaming in for sure.
Yeah.
So, talking about gaming, what we have coming up next week on the site, I am finally going to be completing my review of the Alienware Steam Machine. I really wanted to get some games and get some, you know, play some games that are natively on the Steam Machine, as well as shoot a lot of videos. I had tried for the life of me to get OBS installed on it.
Yeah.
And that was not fun.
Bob discovered he is not a fan of Linux.
Yeah, so the Steam Machine, SteamOS, is based on Linux, and it is quite hard to install something like OBS or something like that. And there's no streaming capability built into Steam or anything like that as far as on a public scale. So it just makes things a lot harder to do, and I'm trying to get a game capture card. I might eventually do that at a later time, but for the review, I'm just going to be recording the TV, which doesn't look the best, but it'll give you an idea of gameplay, and the performance, because I'll be playing games, native SteamOS games. So I'll be doing Counter-Strike Go, I'll be doing Half-Life 2, I'll be doing a bunch of those, that Transistor game, Broforce, things like that, showing you how they play and everything like that. I do really like the Steam Machine, though. I was kind of weird about it, especially using a controller for everything, because I am a PC gamer. But, you know, playing games, like especially like Broforce and things like that, where a controller just works fine, it's really great. And it's great to get out of sitting down at the PC to kind of sit on the couch and play. I do like that aspect of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I did connect a keyboard and mouse, and it just works off the bat. I didn't have any issues with that either.
Good.
So, yeah, I really like it. Definitely going to be a very in-depth review, so definitely stay tuned for that next week. And then
forward to it.
Yes, it's going to be a lot of videos. I already uploaded a few. There'll be more be uploaded today and tomorrow, so definitely stay tuned for all of that on our YouTube page. And then I also be taking a look at the Mushkin Blackline DDR4 2800 8GB memory kit. So this is another pretty high-clocked DDR4 kit. These are actually Mushkin's new Blackline kits. These have their Ridgeback cooling system on it, which is pretty cool. It's sort of like the heat spreader is smaller than it gets larger as you go down the memory thing. They look really nice. They look really good. It's good to see Mushkin's kind of been like, they, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, they were huge in the
DDR. They had the best memory.
Yeah, so I think this is part of that comeback, I think, in that respect. You know, I haven't tested them yet. I've only, you know, taken them out of the box and everything like that, but I haven't tested them. They look great. Hopefully they perform just as well.
Yeah, got some tight timings to start with.
Yes, and then I'll be taking a look at a case from Thermaltake, which I can't tell you about because it's under NDA, but have it next week, so it does come out next week.
Cool.
And then you have your first Water Cooling 101 article.
That's right.
Which should come out next week. So basically, what is, first of all, give us a premise of what Water Cooling 101 is.
You don't really got to explain it much. I mean, 101 class is your introductory class to any new topic. So essentially, we're going to guide you through getting into water cooling. It's not a hard thing to do necessarily, but it's very understandable that it's intimidating because there's so many products, so many ways to do it, and you can seriously screw up your computer if you don't do it right. So we are going to guide you through a series of articles on how to water cool your entire PC.
And what is the first article about?
The first article is basically an introduction into water cooling in general. And then after that, we'll be getting a lot more in depth with the different aspects of it. We'll guide you through picking your parts and everything. I mean, we're not just going to say, here's how you do it. We'll help you pick out some good parts, what you need, what you want to stay away from. I've been water cooling for years, and I will be sharing my knowledge with you.
Nice. Pretty excited for that. So definitely stay tuned for that. We will have a full section of the site that has all of that stuff. But that is basically it for the podcast this week. Did you do anything cool this week or exciting?
No, I did have to race last weekend, and I was working on some ThinkComputer stuff basically the whole week. Right. I did want to add, though, with Fallout 4 going on, there is a good series of books about the whole silo thing. It's a series called Silo.
Okay.
By Hugh Howey, if anybody wants to check that out. They're actually, like, amazingly good books. It's basically along that whole post-apocalyptic theme thing.
Nice. I think I need to get into a book series because, it's just nice to kind of, like, because a lot of the books I read are, like, business or, like, internet-related, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I read a lot of that stuff. And I think getting into, like, where I can kind of, like, escape and go to, like, another universe or whatever, you know, like, just kind of, like, get out of
Work
mode kind of thing. I think it would be something like that. So I might do that. I was really thinking about getting some of the Star Wars books, you know?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Just got to pick your timeline with that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of cool books. I mean, you can do, you know, you can do StarCraft. You can do Warcraft. You can do, obviously, Star Wars. You can do, there's the Halo universe. There's, like, so many books. If you're, like, into gaming, from a gamer's perspective, there's book series based on so many of these games that you really don't know about. If you go to any of the bookstores like Borders and Barnes & Noble and things like that, and you go in there, there's a whole section of these. And there's, like I said, and you can go on Amazon and look for them too. There's a book series for all of these, and they're really great, I think. I've read a couple of the Halo ones, and they're really good.
I just like how much more detail it gives you. It really immerses you more into the universe.
Yes, for sure. So if you're into any of that, definitely go ahead and check some of that. Maybe we'll put some links in our show notes. And our show notes will be on the site. If you go to the podcast section of the site, we have everything that we talked about this week in there, all of the links, everything like that. So if we're talking about something and you want to know more about it, you can just go ahead and click on it. And as always, we are in iTunes as well as Android. You just type in ThinkComputers, all one word, and you're pretty much good to go on that. And we, like I said, we do this podcast every Friday. So definitely, you know, just check out the site every Friday for a new episode. It should automatically pop up on iTunes and on on Android and maybe Windows Phone. I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows what's going on? But, is there anything else you want to add, Derek?
No, I'm good.
All right, guys. So until next week, catch everybody later.